We're back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. When we talk about things being in proper alignment, we're often talking about our spines or our priorities or perhaps our metaphysical place in the universe.
Contributor Jean Creighton is all for those kinds of calibrations, but the kind of alignment that she wants to talk about in this month's Astronomy Chat is planetary.
We have an unusual situation where we can see four planets practically simultaneously in the night sky. And Mars is having a particularly fun time because it's closer to the Earth than usual, which means that it's significantly brighter than it normally is.
And that's the reddish color, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So let me give you a tour, Bonnie.
Yes, please.
So let's just pretend here that it's about 9:30 in the evening, and you want to look straight west. You will see something incredibly bright, and that will be Venus. So Venus is comparable to an airplane, I say. So if the airplane moves, it's an airplane, and if the airplane is still, then it's Venus. So that is going to set fairly quickly after sunset, and it's for the very keen people, you might be able to see Mercury. I even find Mercury to be challenging because it's so low in the sky. It's often in the twilight, hard in the city. And oh, by the way, all these planets are along what we call the ecliptic. So they're all in a line. That's why we said alignment, because they're basically all on the same plane. So the moon, the planets are going to be on one line, which helps because other than Venus, other planets and Jupiter look star-like in terms of their brightness. Jupiter is going to be visible in the southwest, and it's going to be very bright. You'll be able to see it before it's even completely dark yet. So that's something to get excited about. And then if you are familiar with constellations, along Sagittarius, which is supposed to be a centaur, but actually looks like a teapot, in my opinion. At the very tip of the lid, you'll find Saturn. Saturn is noticeably dimmer than Jupiter. Then, at 9:30, you won't be able to see Mars yet. It won't be above the horizon. But if you wait for an hour, you'll be able to see, as you say, a slightly reddish object low in the sky in the southeast. And it will be at its highest, about 35 degrees above the horizon, at midnight. Now, people are excited about Mars right now because it's much closer than it normally is. It's going to be almost three times brighter than it normally is. So it's hard to quantify that without saying, oh, it compares to such and such a star. But I can tell you this to give you a reference point. Closer to the west than Sagittarius, assuming that you can see that little teapot along the horizon, even easier is to see Scorpius. So Scorpius, in my mind, looks like it has a bow shock and a little curvy body and a stinger. In the middle of the body, there's a reddish star called Antares because it's so similar to Mars. And it's along the ecliptic, so it's going to be easily mistakable with Mars. So that gives you how bright Mars normally is, but it's going to be brighter than Antares. So in one evening, you can see four planets. With a little skill and luck, you might be able to see Mercury. Five planets before it even gets very late. So you can kind of connect with our familiar planets in the solar system.
Does this happen the same way every year? Is this just a phase that we go through as part of our orbit where these things line up along the ecliptic?
So thank you for asking that, because a lot of people think that planetary position is seasonal, but it isn't. So different planets move at different rates. So it's a free-for-all every year. Now, what is true is that something like Jupiter, for example, because it's so far from the sun and its orbit is so large, it takes a long time to noticeably move, whereas Venus moves noticeably from night to night. From that point of view, it kind of reminds you the beauty of celestial mechanics, how we, you know, can predict with such accuracy where planets are going to be. In fact, that is what kind of made modern science wake up, because we wanted to figure out where our planet's going to be. And that's what made Kepler look at Mars and figure out how are the orbits organized. And then Newton said, you know what? I think I know why.
And I love the idea that this is not something that happens all the time. This is not something like, oh, I'll get it next year.
Sometimes people will say, well, but I don't have a clear, I can't see, say, the northeastern horizon or whatever. You might need to go to a park. You might need to just adjust your position so that you don't have a tree or a house in front of you. But it really is worth seeing Jupiter. As I said, if you look up, it's the first thing that kind of catches your eye. It's so bright.
And it's bright enough to get through the light pollution.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and all
this
of that.
Is definitely a city object. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And if you want a couple more, mm-hmm. I think this time of year, it's good to look for Arcturus. And I know that we've talked about this before, but it's good to refresh people's memories. We arc to Arcturus, and the arc is just the tail of the dipper, which is nice and high this time of year. And if you keep going arc to Arcturus, you spy Spica. It is possible, if you get carried away, to arc to Arcturus and spy Jupiter. Jupiter's kind of close to Spica. So that'll be another way of knowing, yep, I got right planet, or nope. This is something else.
So if we start around sunset, around 9:30 as it gets dark, and go to about midnight,
you should be in
get
a
all
good
of them.
Place, everything.
Yep. Perfect.
Yeah.
Anything else we should be looking at this time of year that's fun in the sky?
Oh, I think you should look for the summer triangle. We so deserve the summer that we get. We so need that beautiful weather, the sunlight and everything else. So you look in the east, you're going to see the summer triangle that straddles the Milky Way. The Milky Way is not going to be visible in the city, but as you get ready for your vacations, perhaps you can look for the Milky Way. One star, Vega, comes very high above our horizon. On the other side of the Milky Way, you'll get Altair, and smack in the middle, you'll get Deneb. So those three stars make out the summer triangle, and that's a pretty easy find even in the city. The Milky Way, you need to be a little farther, but the summer triangle in the city actually in some ways is easier because there's less to choose from.
Right, you can see it, and yeah. The Milky Way kind of has faded. Right. Well, Jean, as always, it's so much pleasure to talk with you. I think I have to go out and maybe take a glass of wine and go look at the night sky.
I hope you do.
I think so. Thanks so much, and we'll talk next month.
Thank you.
Jean Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UW-Milwaukee and our regular astronomy contributor. You can listen to all of our conversations with her at wuwm.com.